Some physical conditions are caused by sudden injury or trauma, but others, like plantar fasciitis, can be the result of regular, everyday activities. And you know what? That doesn't mean it doesn't hurt any less. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. We're going to get some great information about plantar fasciitis from a couple of people who know a whole lot about it. Lori Tyne Brody, physical therapist and athletic trainer with the University of Wisconsin Sports Medicine and Spine Center. And great to have you back, Lori.
Good to be here.
And great to have Bill Boisenault with us as well. Bill's a senior physical therapist at UW Hospitals and Clinics. Great to see you, Bill.
Thank you. Good to be back.
What is plantar fasciitis?
Well, anything that ends with the itis is an inflammation. However, one of the things we've learned over the years is that it's not always an itis. It might be an osis, plantar fasciosis, which is more of a degenerative condition, which is why sometimes anti-inflammatory measures don't work for plantar fasciitis. But the plantar fascia is the thick connective tissue on the bottom of your foot. And mechanically, it probably was not the most well-designed structure because it starts at a fairly small single point back on your heel, and then it fans out to attach to your five toes. So you can see that down at the toe end, it has a very broad insertion where the load is dispersed over a large area. But back at your heel, it's focalized in one small spot.
And it can cause big problems when it's – and you mentioned earlier, first thing in the morning, typically is a really tough time of the day. Then it gets a little better as the day goes on, but the more you're on your feet, then the more it hurts. And like Lori mentioned, the key is early treatment and resolution of the symptoms followed by why did it start in the first place. I mean, you're right, Larry. Rarely is this associated with a traumatic injury.
Yeah.
And so it's difficult for many people to say this is what caused it. And so trying to figure out, once you get people through the acute phase or subacute phase and they're getting back to normal daily activities, what can you do to keep it from coming back again?
Yeah.
And so that's looking at muscle imbalances, foot and ankle mechanics, footwear, training regimen, is to try to figure out, you know, why did this start in the first place? And we've had a number of calls related to this. This is probably in our top 15 or top 20 reasons for people calling over the years. And so it impacts a lot of people. And some callers have been dealing with it for 12 months or 15 months. And then, like Lori said, it typically has progressed from the itis stage to the degenerative osis stage. And then, not that people can't recover, but it's a longer recovery process.
Right. It comes down to the load on the tissue. It's a pretty mechanically based issue. And if you think about the load or how much load you put on your feet, you think about it as in terms of frequency, like how often am I on my feet? What's the intensity that I'm on my feet? Am I just standing? Am I walking? Am I running? Do I have extra body weight that puts extra intensity of the load? And then the duration, how long am I on? Am I walking a half mile? Am I walking 3 miles? Am I standing at my job all day? And so we have to kind of deal with those factors of how to balance the loads and what can we do to offload it when, you know, you want to go out and walk or you want to go run or you have to go to your job. Mm. So that's what makes dealing with this so difficult, because sometimes we find it difficult to find ways to offload that fascia so it can heal.
Yeah. Boston Marathon's sort of on a lot of people's minds today and other marathons as well, and half marathons and all the running. Is there a connection with running? And
well, only in terms of, you know, probably frequency, duration, and so on. Most people don't have excess body weight if you're running a marathon, but you're on your feet for long periods of time and the impact is high, 2 to 3 times your body weight. And so, you know, building yourself up gradually, seeing someone early if you're feeling that heel pain that won't go away after first thing in the morning so that they can use some interventions to get it back under control before it does develop into a chronic phase.
Yeah. And the treatments are?
Well, first of all, as Bill said, looking at the mechanics from stem to stern. So it's not necessarily just a foot problem, but sometimes we see weakness around the hip that's causing some poor alignment all the way down to the foot. So we need to correct weakness at the hip. Sometimes it's a foot mechanical problem where they're spending too much time or too much intensity and rolling to the inside of their foot, then we might use an orthotic. Sometimes it's a training error. So, you know, the good physical therapist will sit down with that person and look at them from head to toe, examine their gait, examine their posture, look at their flexibility, look at their strength, talk to them about training, and figure out where the problems are. And oftentimes it's a combination of factors.
Mm. Yeah, that really is a good combination. We've had callers in the past that, in essence, are asking, what should they expect when they go see a physical therapist? And
right.
Here they're coming in because of heel pain. And certainly the therapist should be looking at their heel and looking at their foot. But and if they're really acute, then that's where most of the attention should go until they work through the acute phase. But then after the acute phase, then the therapist should be looking from stem to stern, as Lori mentioned, and trying to figure out, okay, so why did this start and what can we do to prevent this from coming back again? Some people have injections for this condition. And again, that may, again, if it's an itis, that may help get symptoms under control, help resolve symptoms, but it doesn't address as to why it started in the first place. So if people have an injection and it helps, seeing a physical therapist is still really useful to try to figure out, all right, what can I do to make sure this doesn't come back again? So there's kind of two phases of the rehab program. Get it under control symptom-wise, get back to functioning, and then figure out why did it start in the first place.
Okay. So, but we can cure it.
Yeah, most of the time we can. And to me, one of the more interesting questions is, if you're doing everything on both feet, why are you having symptoms in one foot? So we often see people who come in with plantar fasciitis just in one foot, and they're running on both feet. And that's where the physical therapist really has to take a close look to see if there's a leg length discrepancy, if there's a pelvic obliquity that's causing an apparent leg length that needs to be addressed, or something, or how they're running. They're running on the same side of the road, or they're running around the track the same direction, or whatever it might be.
So lots of things to consider here. And our listeners, you may have a question about it, or another question relating to injuries, pains or sprains or strains or aches. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Or, of course, you can always post on my Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show. Let's take a call from Chris in Two Rivers. Chris, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hello. I'm 62 years old, and I've always been pretty active and doing between the season of cross-country skiing and getting out in the garden is kind of a lull. And instead of doing a treadmill, I took up tap dancing, and I love it.
Good for you.
I have my right knee, which once in a while tells me a little warning. It's getting, I just feel something, and I don't want to overdo it. Is a every other day routine better to do, or rather than a 20 to 30 minute exercise in the morning?
Are you talking about your tap dancing?
Yeah, I usually do it. Practice tap dancing for about 20 to 30 minutes every morning, and I was wondering if I should be switching to an every other day or something like that, so I don't overdo it at my knees.
Well, how have you tolerated it? How long have you been doing it every day, and what's been the response of your knee?
Well, I've been doing it every day for about two months now, and my right knee once in a while just feels a little bit of a pain underneath the kneecap, and it's sometimes it just happens when I'm having fun and do it for 40 minutes,
So. Right. So, I guess I would say unless you're seeing a predictable pattern of if I do X amount, then my knee gets sore, I'd probably stick with what you're doing. It seems like it's relatively random. You could drop down to doing it every other day, and you could still have random pain once in a while. It's probably has to do with a little bit of arthritis underneath your kneecap, and how maybe a certain move that you're doing catches it just right every once in a while. Mm-hmm. And it could happen when you're walking down the street or stepping off a curb. So, if you said, well, I've just been doing it, 10 days or 2 weeks and I'm starting to feel this, I'd say, but, 2 months, I'd say you're pretty well accommodated to that if you've been doing it every day for that. And as long as you're not seeing progressive worsening of your symptoms, I'd probably just continue with it.
Good, yeah, because I'm having a lot of fun with it. And, if I do, I have noticed that same type of sensation every few years, and it was just, like maybe overdoing some walking in the woods or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, maybe as a Make sure you do a bit of a warm-up and a cool-down, which means you can be tap dancing, but don't start full blast 100% right off the bat. You know, give yourself a few minutes to kind of work up a sweat and then pick up the intensity, and then kind of reverse that toward the end of your session, and that may help a little bit.
And I'd probably also finish up with a little stretching, too, mm-hmm. for your quads and hamstrings.
Uh-huh.
And then the cool warm-up and cool-down, what does that do? Is that just getting your muscles prepared for exercise or what?
Yes.
And then finally with some stretching, as Lori said afterward, when the muscles are warm, again, stretching both your quads and your hamstrings and maybe your calves as well. You know, a 20, 30-second stretch a couple times for those muscle groups also could help you too.
Just like joggers. Okay.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think the other thing for you as a tap dancer, a warm up will help lubricate your joint surfaces a little bit before you start in the tap dancing. And, you know, I think that's one of the factors as we get older that we need to get some circulation and some lymphatic flow around our joint surfaces, mm-hmm. some synovial fluid flow to get them ready for activity.
There you go.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate the call. John in Cambridge, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Well, my wife is in a very distressed and depressed mood because she's been diagnosed by the pain clinic with osteitis pubis, of the pubic bone, arthritis, mm-hmm. inflammation. And she gets the impression from people, I know she's going to go to physical therapy, but since she's so much pain, she's wondering whether she's going to even be able to stand physical therapy. And she's looking up on the internet and everything else. There doesn't seem there's anything they can do. Do you have any thoughts about that? Or
John, do you know why it came on in the first place?
I think she's been riding horses for years.
Okay.
And then they thought she's going to have a hip replacement. Okay. And she went to three doctors, and doctors all said, yes, you need a hip replacement. Did a hip replacement. Finally, she was in so much pain, her family doctor recommended she go to the pain clinic. Mm-hmm. And the pain clinic says you don't need a hip replacement, but you have problems with that.
Okay. All right.
So I'm sure, you know, she's afraid there is no hope.
Yeah, well, when it really gets aggravated, it's very, very debilitating. So our pubic bone, there's a joint between the left and right side. It's not mm-hmm. a joint like the knee joint or hip joint. It's a cartilaginous joint.
Right.
And there are certain activities, whether it's horse riding or skating, during pregnancy and labor and delivery, that joint gets stressed a great deal and can get irritated and inflamed like any other joint. And, of course, when you put weight through your legs, a tremendous amount of force goes through those joints. In terms of physical therapy, they're not going to push her beyond her pain tolerance and pain limits. The first thing that has to happen is for the symptoms to get under control. Sometimes providing somebody a sacroiliac joint belt, you know, in essence, you put a belt around the pelvis, you cinch it up tight, and that takes tension off all the joints of the pelvis, including the pubic area. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes people need crutches or even a walker at times, again, to give that joint a chance to heal and recover. So you just view it as a really acutely sprained ankle. If you keep walking on that ankle or doing jumping jacks on the ankle, it's not going to get better.
Yeah, because what she's doing, I mean, she's had fibromyalgia, so she's been aware of pain for many, many years, but, you know, she still tries to do her gardening and bending down and working with horses and climbing ladders and everything like that.
Yeah.
So what she's doing, what you're saying, by doing that, she's not giving that area a chance to calm down.
Yeah, potentially yes. And this is what the therapist can help with, can kind of go through her daily activities and identify which are the ones that are more likely to be causing issues at that mm-hmm. joint. We don't want people on bed rest. I mean, you start losing ground very quickly with that. But,
right.
You know, like a pelvic support, a sacroiliac joint belt, along with modification daily activities. And then there are some muscle imbalance issues between the core and the hips that, if can be addressed, will take some stress off that joint. So getting her through the acute phase is the first step, and then a recovery and back to normal activity. So I wouldn't view it as it's hopeless she's never going to get back to the things she loves doing and needs to be doing. But
well, you're the first one that has said that.
Okay.
Pain doctor indicated, you know, go on the Internet and you hear all kinds of disastrous things. So she's what do you know about prototherapy?
Yeah, there's different types of injections, and prolotherapy is designed to promote scar tissue to help stabilize the joint. You know, this would be somewhat dependent on is laxity really the issue at her pubic bone or not? And again, I think wearing the sacroiliac joint belt first, if that helps significantly. Well, you can get it through the physical therapist. There's different types, and some give support in different areas. So that's one of the things that the physical therapist should be able to help with and would, I would think, address in the first or second visit at the latest. So her weight-bearing status and then this belt as a way to protect that area so it has a chance to start healing would be the first part of rehab.
Well, that's what I keep on telling her, if we could get that inflammation under control.
Yes.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The first phase, I mean, she's not going to come in and make her start doing leg lifts or anything like that. The first phase is going to be helping her get her pain under control with modifications of whatever she's doing. So she should view this first visit as something to help her deal with the pain, and then you'll go from there.
Yeah, and I would recommend seeing a physical therapist that is a spine specialist. So wherever you're going to go, maybe calling and asking who has the most experience with people with low back and pelvic pain, or you know, our pelvic disorders, pelvic girdle disorders. Yeah. That's the person who probably can help the quickest for you.
Good luck, John. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Talking today about, well, all kinds of aches and pains and sprains and strains with our two guests, Bill Boisenault and Lori Tyne Brody. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking with physical therapist Bill Boisenault and Lori Tyne Brody about avoiding those aches and pains and sprains and strains. We have an open line. We can get you on fairly quickly at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Let's turn to Margaret in Wausau next. Margaret, hi.
Hi. Yes, I'm calling about a condition that I've had that started actually on the bottom of my foot, in the fatty part of my foot that got really sensitive and felt like I had something there that my sock would never straighten out. And from there, it has gone up to the back of my knee, and I just could not bend my knee at all. So after a lot of therapy and a lot of pain doctor injections and a lot of stuff, I was told about active response therapy. And I was wondering what you could tell me about that.
Well, we were hoping you could explain to us what that is.
I mean, maybe another name for something.
Yeah, it might be a name for some other kind of thing. Have they explained to you what happens in that?
Right. I have been going to a doctor, and what it is a way of the scar tissue that has my joints so locked together.
Uh-huh.
And he tries to release that, you know, by pressure points and pushing. And I guess it was developed about 1992 out in Colorado.
Okay.
And so it
sounds like a massage. Is it a massage?
Well, yeah, it's kind of like a massage, but it's not like a massage like I thought it was going to be.
Right.
When I went in.
So it's like putting a finger on a pressure point and holding that pressure point?
Yes, or really, yeah.
Okay, so that really he finds those sore spots and holds them. It sounds a little like strain, counter strain-ish
kind of
a thing. And so what did they decide your condition was?
You know, I think I really puzzled him why we couldn't,
because
I was working on this for 3 years, and I got to the point with the injections in my knee and four times in physical therapy and the pain doctor a lot, and I just wasn't getting any relief. I just could not bend my leg without excruciating pain, and then I talked about my foot being like the floppy fish foot and thing, because when I would walk, I just couldn't lift it at all. You know, I would just, as a result, you know, what I started doing was kicking it out to the side like Chester on Gunsmoke.
Sure,
sure.
So your problem is that your joints will not bend, is that correct? Yeah, or you don't have...
Yeah, with a lot of pain. I can't, like going up and down steps would be strictly straight-legged.
So if we put you under anesthesia, would your joints bend?
I don't know. I haven't gone there yet.
Okay. So your joint pain is your joint motion is limited by pain.
I would assume it is. I don't know. Nobody's ever told me that.
Okay. Because that would really sort of speak to getting you to the right intervention. The question is, why will your joints not bend all the way? So if they won't bend because of pain, then you need some sort of intervention to deal with the pain. If they won't move because the joint capsule is stiff, then that points to a different kind of intervention. That's kind of why I'm sort of harping on this question, because I don't know if this will help you or not, because I don't quite understand the cause of your motion loss.
Right. And I guess they said it was an injury, probably an injury to my, or no, I know I had, when I had the shots in my spine, it was between my lower L4 and my lower L5 was a pinched nerve. So that was kind of where it was starting up in my lower back.
Are you having a lot of pain? Like, I can't stand to have the sheets touch my knee kind of pain?
No, nothing like that. But okay. It's an achy pain at night, and it's a stabbing pain if I try and bend it at all. It's like I can't do that.
And they've ruled out pathology in your knee itself?
Well, the first recommendation has been always to get a knee replacement, but I am wanting to try and work with this without going that route.
Well, then I'd say probably what you're doing is, I mean, given the information you've given us, I'd say it's a reasonable intervention to try. I don't see any reason why you shouldn't do it.
And it is, I'm lacking some of that stuck joint thing.
Okay.
That's what I was going to ask, if it was helping or not. And it sounds like if you're going to somebody who's licensed and good, there's no downside to this, considering the other things that you have attempted here.
Yeah. Good luck. Thank you very much for calling. I appreciate your call. I want to give Rose in Menominee Falls a chance to join in. Rose, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi there. I'm glad to get a hold of you. My daughter is 42 years old, and for at least 3 or 4 years has had chronic knee problems. She's had all kinds of water or fluid on her knees, and her knees have been drained a number of times. And at one point, she had a bone, small piece of bone break off behind her knee. And when the surgeon went in and took care of that, when he came out, he said that he had removed as much cartilage as he could, but that there's arthritis in there, and he said her knees are really shot, but he can't remove any more cartilage, and she's too young for knee replacements. And now he said he can't keep draining them. So what would be some alternatives?
Well, has she been to therapy?
At one time, I think she was, but she's not currently doing that, and I don't recall that the doctor recommended it right now.
Yeah, I mean, that would be where I would start. Is therapy going to change the arthritis? No. But what it will do is maximize the mobility in the adjacent joints, which will help offload the knee. So going back to our original conversation about plantar fasciitis, it's the same philosophy applied to the knee. We need to unload the knee because the knee is not tolerating the load she's placing on it for whatever reasons. She's on it too much. She's overweight. She stands on it too long for whatever reason. She had a previous injury, which is a big factor for people. But we need to offload it so that it doesn't keep deteriorating at the same pace. So strengthening, some very specific strengthening exercises for her leg can be useful. Getting her exercising in a pool so that she can exercise and strengthen and help with the mobility in her hip, her knee, her foot and ankle. To do that without putting all of her body weight on her knee is very useful. It it's good for the joint. It's good for her overall health and condition to stay as healthy as she can. Increases the circulation to the area, which helps maintain the health of that joint. So I'd strongly encourage her to get into therapy. They can also look at things like orthotics in her shoe that might change the loading pattern at her knee that might help her. There are specific braces called unloading braces, depending upon which compartments of her knee are degenerated. Sometimes an unloader brace can buy you more times. But there's many other options out there for her.
Okay, and would those things prevent the buildup of the fluid in the knee?
Well, the buildup of fluid in the knee is a sign that her knee is not tolerating the loads that she puts on it. So if you can get enough assistance to balance those loads and take some loads off her knee, then it shouldn't swell like that. So the swelling is a sign that she's putting too much load on her knee. So she needs someone to help her figure out how to offload it.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
You bet. Thanks. Good luck to her.
Thanks very much, Rose. Patty Joe in La Crosse, hi.
Yes, hello, good morning. I have a question about my shoulder. I've had some pain in it for about a year and a half. I do yoga several times a week, and it seems when I do like the plank position that it continues to hurt a little bit, and I hate to not do anything, and I'm wondering what your advice might be about where I should go from here. What I should try.
So, Patty Jo, was there an injury 18 months ago, or this just started?
You know, there really wasn't. I had a couple bike accidents in the past couple of years, but it was never relating to that shoulder. I was surprised.
Okay.
So yeah. I'm fine the rest of me.
Does the shoulder bother you at any other time except when you're doing kind of the weight-bearing, the plank activities?
Actually, it bothers me all the time now, and it disrupts my sleep at night. Sometimes, I continue to do the yoga, and somehow I think I should continue to try to do strengthening for it. But
agreed. But
yeah,
you know what you described. It could be a number of things. It could be a little bit of rotator cuff that's letting you know it's unhappy. You could have a little bit of arthritis in the joint. There's a ring of cartilage around one of the joint surfaces, the labrum, that can degenerate in many of us. You know, as we age, the fact you're as active as you are is really a good thing, and that bodes well for you. But considering it's been 18 months, I think if you saw a physical therapist, they could evaluate your shoulder, they could evaluate your upper back and neck. One, try to figure out, you know, where's the pain coming from, and then how to appropriately modify your activities. And then two, also try to figure out, okay, what can be done to make sure it doesn't come back again. So there may be some postural issues, there may be some weakness in your back or neck that's putting more stress on your shoulder. So I'd like to think that they come up with a program where you're not going to need to stop everything you're doing, maybe modify a couple of things. But, you know, you take them through a typical day for you after they examine your shoulder, and they should help kind of educate you and guide you with the direction you can go in.
Okay. What's the recommendation to relieve pain right now? Do you say 800 milligrams of ibuprofen a day, or what?
Well, you know, ice can be a good thing after activity, maybe before you go to bed at night. And then from a medication standpoint, you know, whatever you've done to treat yourself in the past for any other pain condition, whether it's your shoulder or your knee, you know, working with your physician, some people take Tylenol, some people take Aleve. So I guess I would, you know, whatever you've done medication-wise in the past, and then ice may give you your best bet short term, maybe some temporary relief. But 18 months is a long time, and as active as it sounds like you want to stay, having somebody examine you, I think would you get a lot of mileage out of.
Here you go. Thank you very much, Patty Jo. We have other callers online. We will turn next to Jabez. Is that correct? In River Falls?
Yeah, it's Jabez.
Hi, thanks for calling.
Hi, I have a question about a knee pain that I developed about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I believe I developed it during a long bike ride I was doing, and I just can't seem to get it to go away. I can pinpoint it to a pain about the size of a quarter on the lower part of my knee, It's not the muscle. It definitely feels like a tendon or something like that.
The lower part of the knee where? In front and back, on the side, inside, outside?
The front, inside, on the lower part, I would say.
So is it down below your knee joint?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. So kind of down on that tendon where it attaches. It's not your big quadriceps tendon right in front. It's over to the inside?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say it's on the inside.
Okay. Yeah, that could be an insertion of some of the hamstring muscles. So, and some of the adductor muscles that attach on the inside down on your tibia, there's some bursas associated with it. So you could have a little bursitis or you could have a little bit of tendonitis. And I'm guessing if you were doing a long ride and you were doing a lot of pulling, I presume you're clipped in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're doing a lot of pulling, that can aggravate that tendon. So,
okay.
So I'd probably work on some icing, some stretching. And if it were me, what I'd do is put my thumb right on that painful spot and kind of do a deep tissue massage crossways across that tendon for 30 seconds at a time, and it'll hurt. But after about 20, 25 seconds, the pain should go away. And try doing that a couple times a day for a few days and see what happens, along with some gentle stretching for your hamstring and your groin, and see where you get. If you're not getting better, then I'd go in and see somebody and have them look at you on your bike and so on.
Great.
Does that make sense?
Some pressure on it. That sounds good.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. We had a caller, Patty Joe, who was just on with us a minute ago. Another caller called in who had similar symptoms. Saw a neurologist and was sent off for massage therapy, and that seemed to help.
Yeah, well, there can be a myofascial component to shoulder pain or hip pain, and loosening up areas that are tight like that can allow for more mobility. And then the question would be, why did they get tight in the first place? So it kind of comes back to that, the chicken or the egg. And so if that is followed by, someone being examined, looking at posture and how they move in daily activities to make sure it doesn't come back again. That's the trick. Most people recover from conditions like this, but it comes back again. And each time it comes back, it's worse and worse. So, a massage, whether it's deep massage, it can be very beneficial for a myofascial component to these.
Yep, but then it's got to be combined with some strengthening, and particularly because she's getting symptoms in the plank position, makes me think she's got some weakness around her shoulder blade. And it may be that she's been doing it that way all her life, and at some point it just caught up with her. Maybe she did a little more gardening, or maybe the falls, even though she didn't injure her shoulder, took a toll on her shoulder, and so it started to talk to her before the other one did. So someone needs to take a look at it and figure out what she's doing wrong.
We have Terry coming up next from Heartland, but you can join in too. We have open lines for you at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. We'll get you on pretty quick. And Terry, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Well, I have trouble with a leg pain, and it's from my pelvis area, which is on my left side is lower. My pelvis is lower to the ground than the other side, so which causes me to put most of my weight on my left side all the time. And I went to a chiropractor, and he didn't really help much. And the theory always was to make that foot padded more to make it higher to even out my pelvis, but that created more pain on that side, and it was even worse. So I was putting padding on my shoe on the right foot, which eased the pain on my left side. So anyway, I had this problem for a long time, and it didn't really bother me until I was about 55 or so. I'm 63 now, so I just remember wondering if there's any recommendations you have.
Okay. Well, what you're describing, it sounds like a leg length discrepancy, although a pelvis angle issue can either be a leg length discrepancy or something going on within the pelvis itself, the joints of the pelvis and the hips. Sometimes when the leg length is attempted to be corrected, it's corrected too fast and too abruptly. Because the body has adjusted to your leg length discrepancy for decades, and then all of a sudden, if you put a lift in that basically levels you out, it's too much for your body to adjust to, and then you have either more symptoms of the usual or you have new symptoms, and so the discrepancy should be alleviated, you know, kind of step by step, maybe an eighth of an inch at a time to give your body a chance to adjust. Now, having said that, you've had this leg length discrepancy for decades, and so why are you having symptoms now within these last few years? And so I would think that there are some muscle imbalances that have developed, certain muscle groups that are probably weak and some muscle groups that are tight, that if addressed could help you symptomatically along with whatever you're doing with your footwear. The other thing with a leg length discrepancy, it can be related to your foot and ankle mechanics. So having somebody examine you, one, to try to figure out this pelvic obliquity or this pelvic angle, is it related to your pelvis or your leg length? If it's your leg length, is it something that can be addressed with orthotics or, you know, inserts? But I'm assuming there's probably some muscle imbalance that have developed that, Terry, that would need to be addressed as well to give you the best chance to have some sort of symptom relief. So if somebody hasn't evaluated you from that perspective, I think it would be worth doing, bring in your footwear and show them what you've done in terms of adjusting your leg length, and see what else they can come up with besides just trying to address the leg length discrepancy.
Yep, there you go. Good luck. Thank you for calling. And Wally in Stevens Point, hi, thank you for calling.
Oh, hi. Well, my problem is primarily I've had a childhood of wrestling, football, and masonry work, and so it's pretty much a miracle they haven't replaced my hands with hooks by now.
Yeah.
But I also play guitar, and I've noticed that I have a lot of problems with playing for, like, longer than 20 minutes, and my hands are pretty much shut. And I know it's primarily phalange-based, like, joint pain, but I really don't want to really go towards the route of using, like, painkillers where I'm either, you know, kind of gambling the lining of my stomach with, you know, my liver. I was just wondering if there's anything else I can do beforehand or that can help my finger pain.
So is it in your left hand, in your fingering hand, or in the strumming hand? I'm not sure what to call them.
It's in my left hand.
So the fingering. So it's the combination of the pressure and that flexed position.
Yes.
Do your joints swell?
I don't know. I mean, it's primarily just pain. I don't really notice any inflammation.
And then, so you're playing for a while, and then you just get pain in your joints. Any joints primarily, or all of them the same?
Well, primarily the middle and index finger.
Okay.
Which there's the most pain.
Okay. And then when you're not playing, do you have any pain?
No, actually, a few minutes after, you know, I just kind of, you know, rest my hand, the pain pretty much goes away. But I do notice it does come back a lot faster if I start playing again.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, a couple things. You can work on strengthening your hands and your grip strength. Have you done anything like that, like with squeezing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I used to wrestle, so grip strength is incredibly important. So what you actually do is you would wring out water out of rags just to get that really powerful grip.
Right. Okay. I think what you need, though, is not necessarily grip, but fingers. So we're talking about the pressure, like pad to pad and fingertip to fingertip. You know, it might be useful for you to see a hand specialist for a visit or two, and they can look at your fingers and look at your position and give you some very specific exercises for those joints. Because grip, you know, much of grip is also your wrist and your thumb motions, and your thumb strength is very important for a powerful grip like you did in wrestling. But guitar is different. It's mostly finger strength and pressure through those specific joints. And those aren't what give you the power in wrestling. So I think the things you did in wrestling may not be most appropriate here. So, you know, if this is something that you want to do, and it sounds like this is important to you in the long run, seeing somebody who's a hand specialist and they can direct you to some very specific kinds of exercises with very specific resistive equipment that can work on those joints for you.
Mm. There you go. Good luck. Thanks. Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. I appreciate your call. Bill Boisenault and Lori Tyne Brody, our guests today from the University of Wisconsin. Bill's with the UW School of Medicine Public Health. Lori, physical therapist with UW Sports Medicine and Spine Center. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you listening in on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, taking a look at aches and pains and sprains and strains with our two guests, Bill Boisenault and Lori Tyne Brody. You can email us at talk@WPR with your questions, or go to my Facebook page, better yet, at the Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question there, or you can phone at number 1-800-642-1234. Lines are all full right now, but they'll be open in a minute. After we talk to Molly and Baraboo, there'll be an open line. Hi, Molly.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I think I have an unusual lower back situation. At least it seems to be whenever I talk to any kind of practitioner about it, they all kind of glaze over because no one ever has any suggestions for me. So maybe you can help. I've been on for about 20 years, and it took me years to realize that the pain in my back would start whenever I was wearing pants or a belt that ran across my lower back, which, of course, is the style right now. And it starts with sort of like pinpoint, like really painful pinpoint pain that eventually spreads across my back and then starts to go into my hip and down into my knee and down into my ankle even eventually. And sometimes by the end of the day is pretty debilitating. Usually a good night's sleep will pretty much ease it up to back to normal. But what I found is that if I'm wearing just like yoga pants or a loose dress or something, I don't have a problem. But once I start wearing jeans or something with a waistband that hits across that band of nerves, by the end of the day, I'm hobbling.
Oh.
And Molly, and this has been the pattern for the last 20 years. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Any injuries to your back way back when? That you can think of, me falling off bikes or...
I did have a couple of... I had a situation where I was sitting in a hammock with a friend and it gave way and we landed on granite. I had another situation where I was backpacking and slipped and fell and landed on my tailbone. And otherwise, I've just always had kind of a weak lower back.
Okay.
I have been sort of amping up my exercise in the last few months and... That in itself doesn't seem to aggravate it, but it seems to make it more sensitive to the waistline issue.
Okay. All right. And I'm assuming you've had some imaging done along the way, x-rays or MRI?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they haven't found anything structurally, it sounds like, that would account for this?
No. And okay. They've you know, often said, oh, maybe it's some... You know, got some arthritis or something going on, and then they say, oh, no, it looks like you're good.
Do you have... Go ahead.
Well, I had one physical therapist say, oh, I'd seen something where a guy had, like, some little nodules or something that had grown on those nerves, and they were able to go in and take them off, and that relieved it. And I said, oh, do you think that's my problem? And she said, no, I don't think so.
Yeah. Do you have problems with any other joints?
I do, yeah. My knees, sometimes my elbows.
If you took your thumb and tried to get your thumb down to touch your forearm, can you do that? Does your thumb go all the way down to your forearm?
Can do that. I'm pretty bendy.
So my first thought was that you have hypermobility, and when you wear that belt, it's creating some hypermobility in your lumbar spine that's pushing something and maybe even to the extent where you're getting some sliding, a little bit of a spondy, a dynamic spondy that's putting pressure on a nerve. So it sounds to me like a hypermobility issue, and that maybe the intervention hasn't matched your specific physical condition, that you need a really strong stability program for you.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you've had that. It's not something you can pick up on imaging. It's something you have to look for in your physical exam, and I think it's overlooked a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
There you go.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
So you think mostly just some sort of strengthening regimen?
General strengthening, right? But in a way that protects your joints. For people that are generally lax, you can do strengthening that will actually aggravate things, irritate things.
Mm-hmm.
If I was seeing you clinically, Miley, it would help me if you came in more toward the end of the day when you were hurting. Or I could go through my exam and see if there are particular movements. There are some special tests that tie into this hypermobility type of syndrome that you could do to determine could that be the underlying cause of the back and the leg symptoms? But a good core program designed to protect your joints. If that hasn't been done,
needs to get done.
That's where I'd go. You have to see someone who understands that issue.
Yeah. Good luck.
Right.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. We had a Facebook question from Jack. Why do toes change angle and sometimes crossbow with age? It's occurred on one foot. I'm 70s and a male. Any treatment for it?
Well, all of your joints tend to degenerate and over time. So if you have a foot that is mechanically imbalanced to some extent, that will progressively express itself as you get older. So if you have, flat-footed and you wore shoes that had pointy shoe toes, for 20 years in your youth, over time, those structures remodel according to that. And as you get older and your joints continue to progress along that path, they will eventually end up like that, which is why we like to see people earlier on where we can give them an orthotic to improve their posture when they're younger so that they don't progress into that into their older years. Once you get to that age and you have toes crossing one another, it's difficult to treat. There are certain splints and orthotics you can use to try to correct those specific things. But if you haven't fixed the underlying mechanical problem, the crossed toes is just a sign of the mechanical imbalance that's occurred over years. So if you try to uncross the toes but don't fix the mechanical balance, then you're nowhere.
John emailed, says, I have a problem with one foot where the arch has collapsed, creating a flat foot with accompanying pain. I was a runner and long-distance biker and used custom orthotics, but it seems to no avail. I've never had plantar fasciitis in the past. Any thoughts on this?
Well, the question is, again, why is one foot collapsed and not the other? Was he putting more load on it? If you have a long leg, you're going to have a more flat foot on that side, and so he may have put more pressure on it. If he hasn't seen anybody to be evaluated, to look at leg length, hip posture, foot posture, and to try different orthotics, then he should probably go in and see somebody. It's a little hard to get more of an answer at this point.
Jim in Kansas City, hi.
Hello.
What can we do for you?
Okay. I recently had knee surgery. I had a ACL replaced and some meniscus trimmed to alleviate the pain. And I was recovering, and during that recovery, I exerted myself, let's say, just working around the house and the yard. And I think I re-injured myself. I was in quite a bit of pain, and I went to see my doctor. This was something like 3.5 months after my surgery. I had been going to physical therapy, had been doing all my exercises and my stretching. had done all that, but in any case, I aggravated my knee, so I went to have it looked at. And one of the things that I was complaining about are these nerves firing in the front of the leg, in the back of the leg, at the top, all the way, sometimes down my leg to my foot. And, you know, my doctor thought, and this is the orthopedic doctor that did my surgery, you know, sounds like sciatica, you know, how's your back? My back is fine, knock on wood, no problem whatsoever, no aches whatsoever. And it kind of baffled him. It baffled my physical therapist. You know, usually they say if it's a knee-related injury, you'll feel pain radiating down your leg, not back up your leg. But somehow I feel like this is very tied into my knee, and I seem to be able to trigger it or at least bring it on more frequently if I wear this little compression sleeve around my knee. Somehow.
Yeah, we are almost out of time here for a break, so I'm going to break in here. And
so is this pain new since you had your little injury, or has this been here since your surgery?
No, it's new. It's new, and now it's by and large passed, but I can feel it more in the back of my leg, my hamstring. They use my own tissue this time. I wonder if it's got something to do with that.
When you said I use my own tissue this time, did you have a redo on your ACL?
Yeah, this is my second ACL. The first operation about 4 years ago.
Okay.
All right. Well, you could have some, you can get some nerve entrapment in the back of your knee where they took that graft. So it could be related to a nerve. It could be if they took medial hamstring, could be saphenous nerve runs in that area. So I think you're going to have to go back and have that checked out.
Talking with Bill Bleisenalt and Lori Tyne Brody today. They'll be with us right up until 12:30 here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You stay with us. Well, whether it's an old injury that you just can't seem to fully recover from, or maybe you have a new twinge that's made an appearance, if you're like me, you deal with some aches and pains once in a while. And it can be hard to know just what's an annoyance that's going to go away on its own or what needs some other attention. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Net as we visit with Lori Tyne Brody and Bill Bleisenalt to give us what they know. And they've got a lot of knowledge and experiences to share. Bill's a senior physical therapist at UW Hospitals and Clinics. Always a pleasure, Bill.
Thank you. Good to be back, as always.
And Lori Tyne Brody, physical therapist and athletic trainer with UW Sports Medicine and Spine Center. And Lori, thank you for coming.
Excellent to be here.
We had Jim in Kansas City before our news break who was dealing with some issues, and I know
yeah.
you wanted to have chance to talk a little more.
Yeah, we don't have him on the line anymore to ask him any more questions, but apparently his second ACL, this was a second ACL reconstruction on that knee, and he had a hamstring graft, and it sounded like some of his pain was related to where they took that graft in the back of the knee. With pain kind of going up and down in the area. So I don't know what kind of intervention he's had. He said he's been to physical therapy. But, you know, a couple things come to mind. He could have some scarring in that area that's placing tension on some nerve roots. So he may need a little bit of a spine approach where we talk about nerve flossing, if a nerve is getting hung up there in some scar tissue where they took that graft. So that's a possibility. And there's also some other nerves in the area, the saphenous nerve that can sometimes get hung up where it passes through some of the fascia in your thigh that can cause those kind of funny symptoms both up and down your leg that are nerve-related. Because his point about his symptoms getting worse when he has pressure on his knee, you know, that's not typical for an orthopedic issue. Usually if you've had, you know, some arthritis or you've had surgery, having a little bit of pressure on your knee feels good because it helps control the swelling, gives you a little bit of proprioception. Usually people feel a little better when they have that on their knee.
Yeah.
So the fact that it feels worse makes me wonder if he's getting some pressure on a nerve that's causing him some some additional pain.
Yeah, and if there's scarring around that nerve, I mean, Lori's right, there's exercises or stretches, you know, neural flossing or neuromobilization, and then also maybe some deep soft tissue mobilization or massage in that area where there is scarring, followed with the nerve flossing might be helpful.
Okay.
But it doesn't sound like it's coming from his back. Putting the sleeve on his knee wouldn't impact his back.
Let's turn to Franco in Iowa, who's been waiting a long time. Thank you for waiting. Hi.
How you doing today?
Great. Appreciate your call. What's on your mind?
Well, I started driving semi back in September, and prior to that, I never had any knee joint pain. I've always driven a manual transmission, so I don't see how that fits. I keep my seat down low, so it's almost like in my car. But recently, when I straighten out my leg to activate the clutch, I'll get a popping and with the amount of pain. And I don't know why it would start all of a sudden. And if I step up into the truck with my left leg, it's a lot of pain associated with stepping first with the left leg. And I'm just wondering what that might be or why it would all of a sudden start to happen.
Well, what were you doing prior to September?
I've done a little bit of everything all my life. I've driven smaller trucks, dock trucks. Those were manual transmission. I've delivered furniture. I've been a right-of-way agent. I've done
So you've done a lot of stuff. Well, I'm just wondering if you're doing a lot more clutching now than you were previously. So I know you've driven a clutch and that you've driven a lot, but if you've increased the amount of clutching that you're doing over this period of time.
I would think.
Not. The only thing that's changed, because with semis, you slip shift, and so very rarely do you actually have to use the clutch once you're moving.
Okay.
It's a long story, but the only thing that's changed is that my leg sits idle longer between clutching than it used to.
Right. Yeah, that was going to be the other way I was going to go with this, either an increased frequency or decreased frequency, because there really is a sweet spot and just the right amount of activity for any joint. So when you overuse it, it's bad. When you underuse it, it's bad. So it may be that you're sitting for such long periods of time with your knee usually at a fixed position, and then you go and you have a lot of activity, whether you're unloading or loading or walking or climbing up and down. But it sounds definitely like a kneecap issue. And one of the points is if you're sitting with your leg in one position for a long period of time, the undersurface of your kneecap is contacting the bone below it in a specific spot for a long period of time. Your joint surfaces do not like that. So they like to keep moving, and they don't like constant contact in one position. So moving is going to be better. So I guess my recommendation to you would be as much as you can to keep moving that knee. And then if you can find a position where you can fully straighten your knee so that your kneecap is not in contact with the underlying bone, that would help. And the stepping up on that, that's consistent with that as well. So going up and down stairs is one of the hardest activities on your kneecap. So if you've been sitting and then you move a little bit and you get up and you make that big step, that's a kneecap issue.
Okay. I've tried using the other leg, but for whatever reason, I always want to step up first with my left leg. But
yeah,
and I found when my leg is straight down and then I go to clutch, that's when it really, really hurts. And I feel the popping. If I know that I'm clutching up ahead, I'll straighten it out more, like more in a car.
Yep.
And if I do that preparatory move, then it's not quite as bad. But I'm trying to figure out how do I get back to where I'm healthy, because I just got that 10 minutes beach body health kit, you know, thing, and lunges are in it, and I just...
No lunges. No lunges.
Yeah.
Now, you need to be doing straight leg activities now, like on your back, doing a straight leg lift, bent over, doing a lift back to strengthen some of those muscles, but not anything with repetitive knee bending, no squatting, no lunging. None of those things. And if you need some direction about what exercises to do, go see a physical therapist for one or two visits and get instructed in some things to do. They might also be able to show you some taping techniques that would subtly change the position of your kneecap that you might be able to use when you drive that unloads that part that's catching and popping.
Makes good sense. Good luck, Franco. Thank you for calling. I want to give Sharon Eau Claire a chance to join in. Sharon, hi.
Oh, hello. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a 71-year-old woman. I work about 20 hours a week where I'm on my feet and walking and standing all the time. I have very flat feet, and I have an anterior lateral tendon that's what the podiatrist says is dysfunctional. I've been given arch insert for my shoes, and I have a brace that I wear on my ankle, but I still get a lot of pain. I'm wondering if there's anything, any exercises. I know that this won't ever correct itself, but is there any exercises or anything I can do to strengthen the situation, or should I just quit my job where I'm walking and standing all the time? Can you help me?
Well, is the is that tendon, is that on the outside of your ankle or the inside?
No, it's the interior, and it connects. There's a bone down below my ankle that's kind of protrudes a little bit.
On the inside?
Sometimes it gets hot. Well, I'm sorry?
Sharon, is that on the inside of your ankle?
Yes.
Okay, because the anterior lateral tendon was confusing to us. So,
Okay.
So now we're on the same page. It's probably on the inside of your ankle.
Inside.
So you've been given the arch supports. Do they help at all?
Yes, they do, and it doesn't bother me except when I'm working, when I work a long shift.
Okay, and do you have good shoes that you have your arch supports in?
The doctor suggested I wear a good tie-up tennis shoe.
Okay, all right. And those feel good to you?
Okay. He said I should wear them all the time.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so in terms of other things to help you, sometimes if you do strengthening exercises for the muscles around your ankle and the muscles in your feet and the muscles in your hips, that can take some of the pressure or load off of your foot. So that may help. And again, you could see a physical therapist who could instruct you in some of those things to do over, a visit or two. I wouldn't go quite to having to quit my job yet. Is it both feet or one?
It's just in the in my right foot.
And then would you be able to use like a walking stick or a cane in one hand at your work?
No, that would not be possible.
Okay, all right.
And I work for the enjoyment to stay active.
I don't have
to keep working.
Okay. It's good that you have something that you enjoy, but not if it's at the expense of a lot of pain. So, it's kind of your call in that area. But, if it's not progressively getting worse and you can handle it, then I'd say see somebody, get some strengthening exercises, have them look at your hips and knees and see if they can get any strength there that might help with your feet at all, and see how far that gets you, and then you can make a decision at that point.
Yep, good luck.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Sharon. Mark and Spooner, hi, thank you for calling.
Yeah, hi. I was calling in regards to, I have some Achilles tendon pain when I walk. And right now I have an ankle brace and I'm putting on it. And I think what I'm doing is I'm supporting some past injuries I've gotten on my right ankle. And basically what happened is my ankle rolled inward and tore ligaments. I heard a lot of popping and re-injured it. I injured it 7 years ago and re-injured it about 3 years ago. And I guess I'm wondering if there's any exercises, if there's possibly any permanent damages, because I know that there's a lot of small tendons in your foot. And just wondering if there's anything I can do to help alleviate this.
Well, why are you Are you just starting some treatment now? Are you just having pain now after your last sprain 3 years ago?
Yeah. This is kind of just the first time. I think what started the pain is, you know, because dry season, I get dry cracks in my feet. So I was kind of walking without letting my heel touch.
Oh, okay.
And it kind of seemed like it started after that.
Yep, that'll do it. That'll do it.
Yep.
So the first thing is avoiding that kind of activity in the future. So now you know. Yep. And given the, you know, the number of injuries you've had, probably be good to go in and see somebody to have them examine your ankle and see how loose and unstable your ankle is, if instability is an issue, and then to look at your Achilles tendon. Because in general, when you sprain your ankle, you don't have Achilles problems afterwards. The two are not typically related. So I don't see the sprains as being predisposing to your Achilles pain. I see your walking on the ball of your foot as being predisposing to your Achilles pain. So I'd have him take a look at it and see what you can do to prevent this in the future. Because if an Achilles gets out of control, it's really hard to reel back in.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Thank you for calling. And John in Eau Claire, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you. For the past couple of weeks, I've been dealing with constant numbness on the bottom of my right foot. Both my feet have hurt for many years. I'm very careful about the shoes that I wear, that they have proper cushioning and support and so on. I'm 68 years old. I walk about an hour and a half a day, 6 days a week. I'm a reformed jogger. About 3 years ago, I had a bout with sciatica, and I'm wondering if that might have something to do with this numbness, but it's constant numbness.
Okay. And so, John, you've had pain for years. Have you ever had this numbness before in your foot or feet?
No. Okay. That's new.
Okay.
And now yesterday I noticed that I had numbness in my left foot too, but for the right foot it's been a couple of weeks.
Okay. All right. It's possible it's related to your back, you know, especially when you consider it's involving now your left foot. I would go in and see your physician, and they'll do a good neurological screen. I mean, it could be something local in the foot and the ankle where nerves are getting compressed. Although it doesn't sound like you really have changed anything from normal activities. Or it could be spinal. They'll also check your strength. Have you noticed any weakness, you know, tripping over your toes or trouble with stairs or anything like that?
No, I haven't. But he did. I told him I had a physical a week or so ago, and I told him about it. And he used a vibrating fork, and I couldn't feel that at all.
Okay.
It goes from the tips of my toes into my arch area.
Okay.
My heel I can feel.
All right. So did the physician diagnose you with anything local in your foot?
No, and I wasn't really assertive enough in pursuing it with him. And he said, well, continue to be aware of it and that sort of thing. And maybe because it was so recent in its onset.
Right. Well, and the fact that it's recent, I mean, it bodes well. Whatever it is, you can catch early. But the fact that it's changing relatively quickly now, starting in your left foot, I'd go back in and your physician and again, describe the time frame. And now it's involving your left foot. And I would think there's some testing they could do. Is it something systemic that's impacting that part of your nervous system? Could it be back related, especially with your history of sciatica? But I think it's worth going back and restarting this discussion.
Yep. Good luck. Thank you for calling. And Nancy in Grafton, hi. Thank you for calling.
Well, I have a pain above my knee in the inner thigh and on the left foot, left leg. And I can, in the evening, later in the afternoon, it gets so bad that it's really difficult to move around. It hurts a lot. And I can put my finger exactly on the spot where this is. It seems like there's a knot in there or something, and it really hurts. And I don't know if this is sciatica or if it's a, I had a couple of years ago, I had a scan on there. They said, oh, there's nothing wrong, but it's getting worse, and I don't know what the heck should I do.
So, Nancy, is the pain, is it real local, or does it spread up or down?
No, it spreads up. It spreads up through the buttocks, you know, and so it goes, it doesn't go up into the spine. It just ends there. But, boy, does it hurt. And when you can put your finger right on the spot where it starts, I'm trying to figure out what in the heck could that be.
Yeah. And how long has this been going on again?
Oh, it's really been getting bad in the last couple weeks.
Okay.
Otherwise, it wasn't so bad.
All right. Was there an injury or an accident?
Nope.
I mean, a slip or a fall, anything like that? Okay.
Nothing.
All right. Well, I'd go in and see a physical therapist and have them examine. You can show them where that spot is, but they would assess the muscles in that area. They would assess your knee, your hip, and even though your back seems to be okay, I mean, any of those are possibilities as to why this spot is there and why it may be getting worse. And it would probably help if you went in hurting a little bit. In terms of the examination itself. I mean, I don't want you to stir it up too badly, but that can help the therapist sort out, all right, so what's the source of this that's driving it?
It couldn't be sciatica, could it?
Well, it's not the usual place for sciatica,
yeah.
But there are other nerves that can get compressed and irritated that can cause pain more in the inside of the leg versus the back of the leg.
Yeah, I put heat on it, and, you know, it kind of relieves it a little bit, but it's not normal.
No, I would agree. And the fact it's getting worse is I would be distressed about it as well, too. No, I think based on what you described, it's worth going in and have somebody evaluate you and try to figure out what's causing this spot to be so painful. And not just looking only at that spot, but looking above and below, the joints above and below that may be really driving these symptoms.
Mm-hmm. Good luck. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And Don emailed us from Michigan, has pain across the ball of his foot, but nothing in the heel. Could this be plantar fasciitis? I no longer run, but do spend a lot of time on my feet, mostly outdoors in winter boots or mud boots.
Well, plantar fasciitis is classically at the heel. You rarely see symptoms at the ball of the foot from plantar fasciitis, again, because the load is dispersed over such a large area. The things that we see most often in the ball of the foot are Morton's neuroma, which is usually between the second and third toes, and that creates pain in the ball of the foot. And you can have some arthritis in those joints as well. So, you know, again, we would examine the foot. We look at the foot posture. We look at it in static standing and while moving. And sometimes an arch support, not in the long arch, but it's called a metatarsal pad to go along the metatarsal heads, which is the ball of the foot. Sometimes that is helpful for those folks.
You mentioned Morton's neuroma, and Leslie on a Facebook comment has it in her left foot. Any advice for keeping it from flaring up?
Well, again, typically what we do is look at those arch pads that open up the spaces between the toes, because the Morton's neuroma happens between the toes, between those big joints. And so, for example, if your joints flare, they're going to swell. They're going to put pressure on the neuroma. So you want to make sure that you optimize your foot mechanics so that you don't cause localized inflammation. You know, doing things like walking around barefoot and so on will be challenging.
Oh, okay. Well, boy, we are about out of time here. And we have a lot more things to deal with, unfortunately,
yes.
But...
That means we have to come back next month, apparently.
Yes, exactly. I guess that's the case.
You're going to have to come back in a month and do this all over again. In fact, Bill and Lori are always here the third Monday of every month. So next month, it's May 19th, right after my birthday.
Fantastic. Yeah. A birthday?
May 14th is my
May
birthday.
May 14th. Well, thanks
all
for
right.
that announcement.
Maybe we'll sing for you later.
I was born on Mother's Day. What a gift for mom.
Your mom gets to go to the hospital. Yeah. Nice.
Oh, man.
Nice.
Bill Boys and all, Lori Tide Brody, our guests, they'll be back on Monday, May 19th, the third Monday of the month. Tomorrow at 11, we're going to talk with Jen Wojcik for Earth. It's Earth Day tomorrow. She manages Habitat for Humanity Restores in Madison. She'll share what items can be salvaged and how to make great use of them. And at 11:45, we'll talk about the recycling of electronics. In the meantime, thank you for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.
Wisconsin Public Radio, along with other TV and radio stations across Wisconsin, will participate in the statewide tornado drill on Thursday, April 24th at 1:45 p.m. This is only a test and will last for about 1 minute. When it's done, stations will return to normal programming. This tornado drill is an opportunity to prepare for the upcoming tornado season and practice your emergency plan. To learn more, go to readywisconsin.wi.gov.
Support for WPR comes from Wheaton Franciscan Healthcare, offering a comprehensive cardiac electrophysiology program to treat irregular heartbeats, dedicated to fixing the medical condition of atrial fibrillation. More at mywheaton.org/heartbeat. Support also comes from The Jeweler's Workshop, presenting a special ladies' night on Wednesday, April 23rd from 5:30 to 7:30, featuring champagne, fine chocolates, and hand massages by Aesthetic Essentials. More info at jewelersworkshop.com.